I want to start by saying thank you just to all of those who were involved in mine and Avery's baby shower to make that happen. Thank you for all the gifts. We left our baby shower. The truck was loaded up. I mean, the thing, I'm surprised the back end of our truck on the way home wasn't dragging the ground. You guys, thank you so much. It was such an awesome day. We were so excited. 3.5 weeks left until he's here. And so it's getting a little real for us. And so thank you for making that so wonderful for us and giving us some comfort in this. And we're so excited. We're nervous. We're happy. I'm dealing with more emotions than I've ever dealt with in my life right now. But I am so excited and I'm so thankful to be a part of a congregation that loves us and takes care of us so much. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. I want to start by, I got to grab some water here, my secret compartment. I want to start, I don't really know how I want to start. I want to tell you what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to start with something a little, that's just on my heart, okay? And then I want us to move into just a time to worship together. Is that okay with you? So this is going to be a little different. And, you know, I've thought about how I wanted to approach this. And I've prayed about this, and I've changed my mind of how I want to do this. I can't tell you how many times this week. God's called me to be a preacher. And there's nothing else that I would rather do in my life than to do that. It's what I love. It's my passion. And I am so thankful to be a part of this church and that God has called me not to just be a preacher anywhere, but to be a preacher with you. And so thank you for listening to me ramble on sometimes over and over again and letting me do that. I mean, I am thankful and proud to be a part of this church. Our country's hurting, and we all know that. And there are so many different sides to things, and it's not over one issue. There's not one thing going on. There's a lot of things going on. And so, as we are in a room together, there's going to be differences of opinion in these pews from one another on different political issues, on different standings, and different things. And I know that. Now, those who are watching online, I mean, some of you are a part of our congregation. We've got people who are watching from all around different parts of the globe, and you see political things differently than others. And so I've decided that I wanted to preach a one-word sermon this morning. And that word is Jesus. Because that's the only answer I have in the midst of a really tough situation. Jesus has always been the answer. Jesus was the answer in the Old Testament when they didn't even know who their Messiah was, and God said, "These sacrifices will work because there is a man named Jesus. And you don't know him yet, but he's my son." And the answer to impossible situations or difficult questions or troubling circumstances has never been a godly leader or a nation agreeing on a stance or a political statement or anything like that. It's always been Jesus. He's always been the answer. And God has brought success and he has brought failure to nations with godly and ungodly leaders. And he will do the same in our nation. And it has nothing to do with who's leading the nation. I want a godly president as well. I would love that. I want a godly leader, a man of faith. But Jesus is more powerful than the president. And so the fight that we're in, let me just read this scripture. This has been on my heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. And Paul is speaking to his audience, and he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh." All right, he's shifting the perspective here. Because the people that he's talking to, they're focused on one situation, one thing. And I really think that's what our country's doing. Our nation is focused on one thing. And that's the political side of everything right now. It's the fleshly side of things. It's the earthly things we're facing. And he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare... Who's he talking? He's talking specifically to an audience. He's not talking to the rest of the world. He's talking to the Corinthian church. I'm not preaching right now to the rest of the world. I'm not using this platform to try to change our entire nation. I'm speaking to the Leander Church of Christ. I'm speaking to the people that God has blessed me to be a part of this church with and to share my faith journey with. I don't get to do that with everyone. I get to do that with you right now, today. You're in here. You're watching online. I get to do this with you. And he says, for us who are Christians, our warfare is not the flesh, it is not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Our weapons are spiritual weapons. What we're fighting in our country right now, I don't understand all the answers. I'm not going to pretend. I can't get up here and preach a sermon to tell you where to take a stance on certain political issues. I can't do that. But I can call you to look to Jesus. And I can call you to use the most powerful weapon that you have at your disposal. And it's not a Facebook post. And it's not a comment back to somebody else. And can I pause here and just say, if there's been some comments between you and someone else in our church family, heal that today. Don't wait for the other person. Because if you're waiting for the other person to come and to fix that thing, and you don't take the responsibility to get up there and to make the first move, then you're still focused on who's right and who's wrong. And they should apologize to me because they say, it's not about that anymore, guys. It's about Jesus. And Jesus honored the relationship more than the information. Jesus prayed about unity the night before the cross. That's what's on his heart more than a political stance in our nation right now. And if we lose sight of our unity, as I'm not speaking to the rest of the world outside these walls, I'm speaking to us. If we are not unified in here, then how in the world can you go take a stance to try to unify what's going on out there? When we have something of commonality in the midst of this room that the rest of the world, we can't share that necessarily with them. We have Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus is saying, remember me. Because he's the thing, he's the one that can unify us in the midst of a really tough time with a lot of scary questions and a really scary time. Here's what I can promise you. We're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. We're going to make it through this. And it's not because our country's going to for sure come to the right spot on every issue. I doubt that. It's because Jesus is alive. You know that phrase, what would Jesus do? I'm so tired of that phrase because it's being thrown. You know that statement's being used to try to support the left or the right side of this political stuff going on in our country? It's not what would Jesus do. It's what is Jesus going to do today? Jesus isn't dead. He's alive. His tomb is empty. And he can work right now. Scripture tells us, Exodus 14:14, be still and the Lord will fight for you. He's fighting. And we have those weapons at our disposal, spiritual weapons. It's time to reach into our tool bag and stop neglecting the spiritual weapons we have. The most powerful thing that we can do is worship. The most powerful thing that we can do is pray. I don't just preach those things to an empty audience because they're good filler things. I believe prayer works and it's powerful. And I genuinely believe that it's the most powerful thing that we can do. If your comments and your Facebook posts and your talks with your family are more about politics than they are about Jesus, I'm going to call you to reconsider. Whether or not you're right on the political side, if your eyes aren't on Jesus, you're wrong. And you're weak. If we want to be strong, we're unified in the Lord. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to demolish strongholds. Church, we're going to be okay if we focus on Jesus. And so let's worship a little bit together this morning, okay? Let's stand and sing this song. When
peace like a
be seated. How do you explain? How do you describe
a love that goes from east to west, runs as deep as it is wide? You know our hopes, you know our fears, and words express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirit sing, hear us sing, the song of praise that flows our way. To those who have
Jesus of mine.
Let's go. Can we go to the next song after this one, please? Cornerstone.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less.
Says, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. We can have hope in the midst of any circumstance because we've read the end of the book and we know that we win and the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. And so let's stand and let's start to sing about this victory and assurance together.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. My soul.
This just his prayer of what Jesus prays for, as we always talk, as I address, you've heard me address it so much because it means that much to me. Jesus in the garden, and he's praying, and here, of all the things that he could pray for, is how he ends his prayer in the garden. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you give me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Love one another,
for love is of God. He who loves is born of God, and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Thank you. our country was most divided. You know, well, where were you when all this was happening? What side did you take? I prayed. Praying's not enough. Praying's the most powerful thing that I can do. I worship Jesus like I've never worshiped him before. I've loved my church family like I never loved them before. I served like I've never served before. I'm not smart enough to have all the answers, but I trusted in the one who knows more, sees more, and understands more than I could ever understand. His ways are higher than my ways, and his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Don't leave your state of worship as a church family, because that is the only way we win in the midst of a difficult and divisive situation. Church, I love you, and we never want to leave you in a moment like this without a chance to respond. So if there's something that you need, if we can pray with you, if you just need encouragement, if you just want to pour out your heart, whatever it is that you want to get off your chest, if there's anything that we can do, we're here for you, and we love you, and we're unified with you. And so we give you a chance to come forward as we continue to stand and sing this song.